Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
Today, the president is going to shift his focus to gun control. And in fact, the White House released a preview of the plan overnight.
The White House gave those details last night. The president will expand on that later today. They are six executive actions that the president wants to take without or before Congress actually creates a law on guns. Those actions, four of them, are directed at the Justice Department to create rules to restrict so-called ghost guns, homemade weapons, also restricting stabilizing braces that turn pistols into weapons, and resuming firearms tracking that stopped more than 20 years ago. They're also asking the Justice Department to draft laws for states, so-called red flag laws, that would allow relatives and police to ask a judge to keep weapons away from people in crisis.
That's Tracy Potts with NBC talking about the proposals that are going to be announced today by Joe Biden, President Biden, including his nomination of a former, he's got a lot of history. Okay, don't get me wrong. The guy's certainly got the expertise you would think of for running the ATF. It's a question of viewpoint that concerns me because he is an advisor to Giffords, to the organization that Gabrielle Giffords started, a radically pro-gun control, anti-Second Amendment organization. And that's the guy that you want to head the ATF. Okay, wow. Also, Tracy Potts, by the way, look, I always try to cut people slack because I know I make verbal gaffes as well. Everybody does. If you talk on the air enough, you're going to do it. But, when we talk about how people say the silliest things about guns, listen to this.
So-called ghost guns, homemade weapons, also restricting stabilizing braces that turn pistols into weapons.
Yeah, we got to make sure we don't turn those pistols into weapons these days, you know. I know, but sometimes the snarky, mean jerk has not completely been expunged from me by Christianity. I'm just, Jesus is still working on me. But I was reading an interesting piece in USA Today, and the same kind of response. It's a common complaint, okay, is that media bias takes a lot of different forms. Right. There's the deliberate effort to misrepresent things, as we saw with 60 Minutes, and Governor DeSantis keeps pointing this out, and rightly so. But then you have a different kind of bias, and the different kind of bias is when people have a viewpoint that they don't realize biases they're reporting on a subject. And sometimes you have an ignorance of a subject that creates a bias in you. I've frequently talked about this in the past, that mainstream media sources don't really get religion because they're not religious. You kind of have to be it to get it, right? And they don't get it. That's why they say such ridiculous things about religion whenever they cover it. You know, the old idea used to be you had a religion reporter who at least understood this stuff, or even a religion desk, had a broader... Anyway, not really anymore, but you get stories written about religion, and that's why I say whenever you see a religious headline, go read the National Catholic Register for better information about, say, the Catholic Church. Go read something that's more reliable, that's written by people who actually understand religion, rather than trusting national news outlets on their religion reporting. Same thing on guns. They typically don't really get it. And for example, and they say some of the most ridiculous things. This is Crystal Hayes and Grace Houck writing for USA Today about the Boulder shooting. Okay, about the Boulder shooting, which is leading to some of these actions that Joe Biden is going to announce today. They said 6 days before opening fire in a Colorado grocery store and killing 10 people, a 21-year-old suspect in the massacre bought a Ruger AR-556 pistol. 5.56 is a caliber. That's the 223 is the other, but it's a caliber of round that is used by AR-15s, for example, that you might be familiar with. It's a rifle round, a weapon with a controversial history in the national debate over gun regulation. The Ruger looks like a rifle, operates like one, and even takes the same ammunition as the infamous, is it? AR-15, the most popular sporting rifle in America. 5 to 10 million people are owned of them anyway. The infamous AR-15 that has been used in many U.S. mass killings. But the Ruger is not a rifle, at least not under current gun laws. Billed as Ruger's alternative to the AR-15 rifle, the pistol is smaller and more maneuverable than a rifle. It's sort of by definition, you know? If it's smaller, it's more. Anyway, it also isn't bound by the strict regulations that a rifle of its size would, an issue that's cast light on the nation's gun laws and led to calls for change. What are they talking about? What are they talking about here? This really is in kind of a weird gray zone with regards to the federal gun laws, because there still are federal gun laws that govern a lot of things, including things like, you know, sawed-off shotguns is a term you might be familiar with, to shorten the barrel of a shotgun. And the reason people would do that is because it makes it more concealable, right? You can hide it easier, and so you want to regulate those. There's an old restriction on short-barreled rifles. For the same reason, that you don't want people to be able to more easily conceal rifles because they have a greater capacity to do harm. Well, the Ruger 5.56 pistol, AR-556 pistol, is technically it's a pistol, not a rifle, but it is short, like a short-barreled. And so if you looked at it, if you're a layman and you looked at it, you're like, man, that looks like a small AR-15. And exactly. And one of the things that he's looking at regulating is these stabilizers. It's designed to attach it to your arm, essentially. So, because a pistol, by definition, is anything you're supposed to fire with one hand, okay, as opposed to mounted on your shoulder by design. And this is the kind of thing that you would typically prefer to use with your shoulder, but they're small, and they're popular because they're small. And the stabilizers are often used by people with limited mobility and disabilities to fire guns with just one hand. Often vets, okay, use them. But they were used, one was used by this guy, and so he's trying to regulate this and reclassify it as something that the Firearms Act would oversee. Because they're calling it a weapon of mass destruction and not a pistol. Because it doesn't use a pistol round, it uses a rifle round, and it looks like the ugly guns is the short version of this. So, he'll probably accomplish this. It might be able to be done through executive action. We'll see. There's a couple of other things that he's doing, as I mentioned, who he's going to nominate to head the ATF. They're going to try to get rid of ghost guns. Ghost guns is a catch-all term for a gun that you might assemble in your home with parts that in and of themselves do not require a background check to purchase and do not come with serial numbers, and so they're kind of untraceable, and you don't go through the normal process of acquiring them. That's something that they're going to work on. There's a couple of other things. Funding for community action against violence is another one that he's going to kind of refunnel money from a couple of different places that it is right now in the Justice Department budget into work against community violence. So it's not big changes, okay? There's nothing in here that's big that's going to really affect most of you. Probably the nomination of Chipley is going to be the big one, because a guy who is really against the Second Amendment for private citizens might wind up heading the ATF. That's a concern note. 717 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
Well, on Avalon Boulevard, as the result of an accident that took place southbound just north of I-10, as you're trying to turn to go westbound onto I-10, there's an accident over there that's really affecting northbound traffic. And earlier it was backed up to Garcon Point Road. It's now more backed up to Claro Street. So that's an improvement. But still extended. It's still going to be an extended amount of time. If you're going northbound across Garcon Point Bridge, it's also moving slow. And taking a look at Gulf Breeze Parkway eastbound, backed up around the area of the Sonic Drive-In. Highway 29 southbound in between 9 Mile and I-10, showing delays there. Also seeing very minor delays at best at the front gate of NAS Pensacola. Doesn't look like anything that'll take too much time. This report is brought to you by Barbary Plumbing. You may not need a plumber now, but when you do, make sure you call Barbary Plumbing at 477-8782. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
And by the way, just one correction. Last name of the guy is Chipman, not Chipley. And I did fail to mention that one of the other provisions is Biden wants to have the Justice Department develop model red flag legislation for the ability to preemptively take weapons away from people that might be viewed as dangerous. So that is one that would be more widespread. Whether it needs a law to actually go into effect is its own question. So, you know, we talk a lot about Christina Leavenworth, about the housing market, about how she and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, they get homes sold quickly for good prices and all that. And it's true. And historically, she has always made this promise of 30 days. I'll get your home sold in 30 days, and I promise you, if we agree about a price, and if your home qualifies, not every home does, and you do have to agree about a price, but if you do, and if it does, then 30 days, she'll sell it, you know, guaranteed. She now says 14 days. 14 days, based on this market, based on limited supply, based on the track record that they've got of getting homes sold quickly, she says, I'll sell it in 14 days, again, if it qualifies and we agree about a price, or I'll pay you $5,000. So, you know, it's a pretty good promise. And G says, look, Andrew, honestly, we don't ever not sell them, because we sell them in like 7 days, 2 days, 1 day. I mean, that's very, very common. I can make this guarantee because I know we'll get the home sold. So if you want to find out what your home could sell for, you know, if you're thinking about it, maybe give her a call. Find out, because they certainly know how to get it done. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty, 723-9158, 723-9158.
This is Northwest Florida's Fox News Station.
Video that's gone viral of a migrant child found in the desert. He says he was abandoned, left alone. The video from Daily Mail reportedly taken last week by a Border Patrol agent.
The little boy east of Rio Grande City asking for help, stranded, scared, and sobbing after having spent the night in that desert.
Every 30 minutes and whenever news breaks, hear it first right here. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Civilian award, the highest award that as governor I'm allowed to give, called the Florida Medal of Freedom, and it's meant to recognize people who have achieved great things and done a lot on behalf of our state. It could be in a government, civilian, any type of capacity that's really made a difference.
Yeah, this was yesterday, the new award, and he's giving out this Medal of Freedom for the first time in the history of Florida, and he gives it to Bobby Bowden.
Coach Bowden is somebody who's lived his life according to very strong values, faith in God, patriotism. He loves this community at Florida State. He loves our state, and he loves this country and appreciates the opportunities that it's provided for him.
Absolutely wonderful. And, you know, Coach Bowden is a little up in years, and so it was really good to see him moving. He's kind of slow moving, but he's certainly pretty sharp-witted, nevertheless. This was the introduction of him.
Well, our Florida inaugural Florida Medal of Freedom recipient, I'd like to come up and say a few things.
What took you so long? I've been around a long time. It's good to be here.
Why is it only now, you know? I love it. And nobody told him what this was about.
Now, I got word a month ago or couple of weeks ago that be sure to put this date on your calendar. I said, why? Well, just put it on your calendar. So people kept reminding me of that, but nobody would tell me why. So I didn't know what to expect when I came out here today.
And sure enough, he's getting this big honor.
You know, I get the credit. The head coach gets the credit. But there's those coaches there that do all the coaching. And I had great coaches, Mickey Andrews and all that crew. And had great players like Charlie. You know what? And those they get you there. So I want to appreciate, thank you. And appreciate you giving me this honor. I will treasure it the rest of my life, which I don't know how long it's going to be. once you get 90, boy, you don't think about the future too much. you worry about that same day.
Pretty good for 90.
To commemorate the award for Coach Bowden, we are declaring it officially Bobby Bowden Day in the state of Florida. So here's that.
Pretty good. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. Mark?
Day 9 in the trial of a former Minneapolis police officer accused of killing George Floyd about to get underway. The judge expected to decide whether his friend will have to testify against Derek Chauvin. He was there when Floyd died last year but wants to plead the fifth. U.S. a step closer to getting troops out of Iraq. The U.S. and Iraqi governments agreeing to hold talks on developing a timeline for removing the 2,500 service members still there. And the first comic book where Superman appears, now the most expensive comic ever sold, the 1938 book. We had a little adjustment in the price since the last time we talked about this story. It originally, the story said it was $2.25 million. You thought you'd heard a different number elsewhere, so went back and looked at the actual online auction website. Yeah, three $6.25 million. It's a lot more than the original price tag of a dime.
Yeah, a little.
And I think the difference in the price was they said that the person who sold it this time made $1 million profit. So apparently he probably paid $2.25 million for it when he bought it.
So he bought it this morning and then sold it later on this morning.
Sold it at $3.25 million.
Very good.
Oh, my goodness.
Mark, thanks so much for the update. Davis Allen, now time for Traffic on the Fives.
He's flipping comic books over here. Couldn't move. And taking a look at Avalon Boulevard, northbound. Due to an accident that occurred earlier this morning affecting southbound traffic, it took place southbound. It's affecting northbound traffic because it's impeding the turn lane trying to go westbound onto I-10. It's not affecting southbound as much. Northbound is backed up all the way once again to Garcon Point Road. At this time, it would likely be more beneficial for you to travel northbound to go onto I-10 on Garcon Point Road. That'll save you a bunch of time. Also, it's raining. If you notice any flooded roadways out there, please turn around. Do not drown. Keep those headlights on. Back to Garcon Point Road real quick. Garcon Point Bridge, I should say. Northbound still delayed. Southbound not showing any delays. Northbound is delayed the entire span. And then back in Pensacola, Highway 29 southbound is delayed between 9 Mile and I-10, while the front gate of Aeneas Pensacola flowing smoothly. And this report is brought to you by Central Credit Union. Hit the open road or open waters with the RV or boat of your dreams. Rates as low as 3.5% APR. You can apply at CCUFL.org. I'm Davis Allen with your Traffic on the Fives.
Come over here.
Good morning, 729 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. You know this question of vaccine passports that Governor DeSantis is vehemently opposed to, and I think rightly so, which is obviously leading to some concern about the interaction of the cruise industry, right, since they have basically said that's how we're going to get back to operation. Well, now, Senate President Wilton Simpson has made clear that he also supports banning the passports in general. He's not opposed to businesses offering incentives, rewards, VIP perks, seating, basketball games, stuff like that, if they want to incentivize or reward vaccination, but making it a condition of entry. He's opposed to that. Remember the Miami Heat have kind of announced that they want to do some stuff in this direction. Very interesting. The Miami Heat is really kind of at odds with the Tallahassee legislature right now on a variety of issues, including this and transgender sports participation and so forth. Anyway, so Wilton Simpson says, look, if you want to have a VIP reward, fine. If you want to make it a condition of using your business, no, we're not going to have that. So, again, the legislation's still yet to be actually formed, but we'll keep an eye on it for you. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom. What do you got coming up, sir?
An alleged hit-and-run driver turns himself in. The story after Fox.
I'm Jennifer Kuschenko with Your Money Now. More than 3,200 Amazon workers at an Alabama warehouse voted on whether to unionize, and the initial results should be announced in the coming days. The Retail, Wholesale, and Department Store Union says 3,215, or 55%, of the roughly 5,800 workers at the Bessemer, Alabama warehouse cast ballots. The union says hundreds of ballots were challenged by management, which could delay the election results in the case of a tight race. Challenges would be resolved by the National Labor Relations Board. Even if the union wins, it could take years of bargaining to reach an initial contract. The federal government says more than 500,000 people have taken advantage of the Biden administration's special health insurance sign-up window keyed to the pandemic, and even more consumers are expected to gain coverage in the coming months. The special sign-up opportunity for the Affordable Care Act plans will be available until August 15th. On Wall Street, futures pointing to a slightly higher open. That's Your Money Now.
Bad boys, what you want, what you want, what you gonna do when Chevy John Brown come for you?
Good morning, 738, News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. A little bit of rough weather this morning, especially on the water, actually, off the end of the Gulf, just off the beach. If you're in Pensacola Beach, Perdido Key, maybe Gulf Breeze, you're seeing some elevated lightning. The rest of us are just getting rain, and rain and rain and rain. So drive carefully, take some time. You know, when you cause an accident, it's not just inconvenient for you, it's inconvenient for everybody else. Hello, Avalon Boulevard. I'm thinking about you this morning. 739, Mike Wood is the public information information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. He joins us every Thursday at about this time. Hey, Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, before we get into local stuff, I did want to ask you about a story that didn't take place here, but it caught my attention as the kind of thing that it was a good opportunity for us to remind people about. There was a murder that took place in Pennsylvania that a woman met a guy to buy a fridge for her boyfriend on Facebook Marketplace. What kind of safety guidance do you have for people, especially during COVID, that are buying a lot of things from private individuals over the internet?
Well, we don't want them to go to places like that, the incident that you mentioned, because bad things can happen. We do at the Pensacola Police Department, as does most law enforcement agencies, they offer a safe spot in their parking lot or in their front lobby to do these exchanges. So we urge people to never meet someone they've never met before in a strange place to exchange cash. That's a dangerous situation.
Yeah, it's not a great idea. It always gave me a little bit of the willies, these kind of things. Although nowadays with COVID, it's more you put it out on your porch and they leave money under the mat, you know, which is kind of the no touch, low interaction as well. I know porch piracy has been an issue. Our home, even, we had somebody try to take, so it's crazy. But they thought better of it, I think, when they saw our security cameras, which is good. But have you had a problem with people taking the money from under the mats? Has that been a thing that you guys have gotten calls about?
Is that something that I haven't heard of? Porch fires, of course, that kind of that goes up around Christmas time, but we didn't have a big problem with that this year either.
Yeah, well, that's good news. And things have been relatively quiet in the city, which is always good. Right, we haven't really had any big news items or big, you know, criminal activity over the last couple of days that we don't already know about?
No, it's been quiet. You know, we had an accident on Cervantes that was yesterday that held up traffic for a while. But I do want to mention that over the weekend, we had very police work done by Officer Heather Busby, who was on routine patrol in the area of Davis and Fairfield, when she noticed a vehicle parked alongside a fence. And on the other side of that fence is a self-storage facility. She went to check on that vehicle to see why it was there. That vehicle took off from her and eventually crashed a short time later. The problem with that was there were three people involved, and they left their buddy behind that was burglarizing the units. And eventually that person was caught and arrested as well. So good police work on her part.
That's, wow. I mean, that's amazing. Like you say, they took off because they think she knows something or sees something. They leave their buddy behind. Oh, by the way, sorry about that. But you wind up apprehending all three of them. That is great police work. To me, that's a reminder that great police work starts with good observation skills, knowing what's normal and seeing something that seems abnormal and, you know, taking a look, right?
And you know what? Nobody knows what's abnormal in their neighborhood like the people that live there do. And that's what's so very, very important about organized neighborhood watch parties and just people who live in neighborhoods. We encourage them to call us anytime they see a suspicious vehicle or a suspicious person walking around. We need that phone call.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you say that because, like, my wife and I always walk around our neighborhood, so we know really well what's normal and what's out of place. And, you know, every once in a while we'll see something. And, you know, the old advice is if you see it, say it, right? Give a call. But like I was telling you, that porch pirate thing, you know, we talked to a couple of neighbors. We know the car we've seen people driving. I mean, you know, it's that awareness through keeping your eyes open and then being willing to do something about it that a lot of times helps catch and thwart crime, right?
Exactly. We can't do our jobs alone. We have to have the help from the public in order to be successful.
Well, we'll do our best to keep trying to help. I also wanted to ask you this, and I understand that in your position, this might not be something you can answer. And I understand that, you know, I understand that. But we've been talking this morning a little bit about David Shipman, who's been nominated to be nominated by President Biden to be the head of the ATF. By all accounts, he's a competent, experienced lawman, but he's also very anti-gun. He's a consultant for Giffords, the organization. Would it matter much to what PPD does regularly if somebody got in to head the ATF that was generally anti-Second Amendment? Would that affect you guys very much?
No. Yeah, that's something that, you know, we worry about those things on the local level, and all we want people to do, if they're going to own weapons, is to own them responsibly and use them when defending themselves or someone else. But as far as bad guys on the street goes, you know, they don't listen to laws. They're not worried about gun laws and background checks and that sort of thing and purchasing the weapon legally. So it's you have two different things there that you're talking about.
All right, very good. Well, that's, you know, that's what I figured, but I wanted to check with you to see. Recently, Escambia County Sheriff's Office and the Pensacola Police Department, which was kind of expected that there would be an even tighter cooperation with all of the you know, shared leadership personnel over the years now. You guys announced that you're working together on drug crimes and also working together on gang crimes. How has that been? It's been about a month, if I'm not mistaken, that tightening of cooperation has taken place. How's that working so far?
Yeah, it's working well. It's still there, still, and it's going to be there for a long, long time, so long as the current administrations are in both agencies. So, again, it's a very good thing that's happening. It's a bad time for the bad guys. But a lot of times these investigations take some time for big announcements, you know, that are worthy of a news conference to come out. So just because we're not giving information out on a daily basis as far as street level or narcotics go or even above that certainly does not mean that things are not going on.
I take that as a good advice on keeping your perspective on what kind of announcements come out. Last question for you, Mike. A lot of times we talk about a myth or a portrayal of police work that you see on TV and movies. And I have a question for you about this one, is whether it's true or not. One of the most common is the kind of the turf war jurisdictional battle. You know, the local cop makes the arrest and then the FBI agents swoop in and then how dare they take my case? And, you know, or whatever. Does that really happen? I mean, do you guys really have these kind of like petty turf war, how dare you kind of things go on in case jurisdictions?
No. In fact, it's kind of the opposite. If an agency wants to come in and take over a case, we have no problem letting them do that, and which very rarely happens, especially at the state and federal level. They want to come in. They don't, quote, take the case over. They come in and they assist with the case. We assist them, and it's a joint effort. But if two agencies have a major case and one of them steps up and says, that's our case, we're going to take it, you're not going to see a lot of argument from the other case from the other agency, because all police departments have enough to do already. And if someone wants to take over a case that happened right on a jurisdictional line, you're certainly not going to see them fight over it like you do on TV.
Yeah, it's interesting, the portrayal of police agencies as all these internecine warfares over their jurisdiction. That's just not the. And I know, like, you have rules about FDLE taking over shooting events. And, of course, as you say, hey, if the feds want to take it over, by all means, you'll have the resources. That's fantastic. Well, that's why I like to ask. That's good information. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for what y'all do to keep us safe.
Thank you.
You bet. Traffic on the fives now with Davis Allen.
And taking a look at Avalon Boulevard going northbound, basically from I-10 all the way down to Highway 98, you're delayed. Simple as that. So if you're also at the intersection of Avalon and Garcon Point Road, if I'm you, I would take Garcon Point Road once you get there, northbound I-10. That would save a lot of time. It does appear that that accident that was blocking off or impeding traffic trying to get westbound I-10, that on-ramp, it does appear that accident has since cleared up. Good news there. Now we just have traffic. Going southbound along Avalon is flowing smoothly. Once you get on the bridge, though, you are going to be met with delays. Southbound traffic on the bridge is delayed, appears to be delayed the whole length. I-10, we are seeing some eastbound delays starting at Pine Forest Road. Also, speaking of Pine Forest Road, some minor delays southbound. We're seeing eastbound delays along 9 Mile Road in front of the Navy Federal Complex, and Highway 29 southbound is delayed between 9 Mile Road and I-10. This report's brought to you by Executive Landscaping, over 40 years of service. They're big enough to get the job done, yet small enough to care. Call 250-3756 for a no-hassle estimate. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
Look, I know that this morning is one of those mornings where, like, traffic is backed up, it's unpleasant, you're pounding the steering wheel, especially if you're using any of the major arteries kind of all around this area. And so this might be the time where you're starting to think, you know what, I used to like this car a lot. I don't know that I love this car too much anymore because I'm having to spend way too much time and the flaws have become real problems. Okay, here's what you do. Later today, you know, when you get a chance, go to Frontier Motors and you say, look, you know, I used to love this car. I don't love this car anymore. Andrew says you've got great cars. Show me what you got. What they have on their lot is about 400 one, two, three-year-old used cars and trucks that have low mileage and are in great condition that they have for sale at good prices. and they can help you get into a car that you'll like, that you'll enjoy, that you might even remember the days when you would look forward to getting into your car because it was so good. Might even save you money. I can't promise that, okay? But it might, because you're getting to that point with your car where it costs you too much every 6 months or a year. That's what Frontier Motors can do for you. Enjoy driving again. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
It is an honor to be here at Eglin Air Force Base today for this momentous and historic occasion, the official rollout and naming ceremony for the F-15EX.
I'm going to say something that I heard on TV commercials as I was growing up. This ain't your grandma's Buick. I mean, this is an amazing aircraft that has been developed purposely for the United States Air Force and her allies in mind.
These brand new aircraft represent a significant upgrade over the legacy F-15C. A significant upgrade in weapons capacity, including the ability to carry outsized weapons for these missions and for standoff roles in the high-end fight, supporting our geographic combatant commanders.
So big ceremony yesterday at Eglin Air Force Base where you had all the lieutenant generals. Duke Richardson came in. That was the first voice you heard. Then Lieutenant General Mike Lowe, he's the director of the Air National Guard. He came in, and they're talking about the F-15EX, the latest version of the F-15 Eagle, the vaunted strike fighter that the Air Force has been using for forever. Because they all kind of came in around the same time. The F-14 Tomcat that's now retired, the F-18 Hornet that's upgraded now to the Super Hornet that the Blue Angels fly for the Navy and the Marines, and then the F-15 Eagle that's the Air Force platform, and the F-16 kind of came in around the same time as well. But those are like the sort of now legacy fighter platforms, and they've really needed to upgrade this one and produce something that is an alternative to the, golly, I mean, I hope for better for the F-35, but it just is not holding up to the promises and the cost also. So what they've done is they've taken the F-15 body, basically, and they've just completely renovated it. And the key is all of these things were built with the technology at the time, you know, 40 years ago or whatever, and they weren't really built to be upgraded with modern technology. That's what they've done with this one, is not just put in the newest stuff, but put it in so that it can be upgraded in the future.
The most significant difference between the F-15EX and legacy F-15s lies in its open mission systems architecture, which enables the rapid insertion of the latest aircraft technologies. The F-15EX is equipped with a high-speed fiber optics avionics service bus to enable rapid, cost-effective integration of advanced avionics systems developed to the OMS standard.
Great stuff. But the only thing most people really want to know who are aviation enthusiasts is, all right, that's all great. What's the name?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my honor to introduce the F-15EX Eagle 2.
That's it, the Eagle 2. That's fine. It's fine. Mark Jacobs is in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
Two small children among five victims of a mass shooting in South Carolina found inside a home along with their grandparents. A prominent doctor and his wife, a worker, found outside. The suspect captured after an eight-hour manhunt. Search on for a missing person after a paint factory exploded overnight in Ohio. At least eight workers in the hospital, two were trapped inside, had to be rescued. They're said to be in critical condition, and crews are still on the scene fighting the flames. What city has more billionaires than any other city in the world? Any guesses?
Dubai?
I'm going to go Menlo Park, California.
Forbes, out with its annual list of the world's richest people. Beijing added 33 new billionaires to the list this year, narrowly beating New York, which has held the top spot for the last 7 years.
All right. I could see it for sure. I can see it. Yep. Mark, thanks so much for the update. Davis Allen, time for a quick shot of sports.
Hello, friends. Underway right now, the first round of the Masters Tournament. In fact, we had our annual first tee off, which is usually when some of the greats of golf, they tee off to kick off the tournament. And this year it was Jack Nicklaus, a mainstay, also Gary Player, another mainstay, but this year, Lee Elder, who was the first African-American to play in the tournament, 1975. How did he qualify for the tournament? Good trivia question. He won the 1974 Monsanto Open, also known as the Pensacola Open, played over at Pensacola Country Club. So a little tidbit there you probably did not know. But yes, the round's underway, and Bubba Watson will be teeing off his round here in about an hour and 10 minutes. I'm Davis Allen with your quick shot.
And we got an announcement yesterday about Wahoos, right, for capacity?
We sure did. I know Mark was mentioning this just during his bottom of the hour news. But yeah, the Blue Wahoos came out with their stadium seating capacity and also social distancing and masking rules for the upcoming season. And so they're doing these buffer zones, which means the first two rows are separating you, the fan, away from the players. So every other seat available is open. So it's 98% capacity, estimated 4,800 seats available. There's also going to be general admission seating as well, like in the outfield and the grassy area, where they're basically saying just treat it like the beach. You're going to the beach, you want your own spot, treat it like that. Also, you have to wear a mask if you're not eating or drinking, and that's pretty much it. I noticed a lot of the comments we got on our news radio post about it. I would just say, you know what, just give it a second, please. Like,
give it a
go
try.
Go to a game and actually see how it is. Also, each month they're going to revise, or depending on what's going on, it may stay the same, or they could loosen it or make it more strict. Just depends on how everything's going. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and take this into your traffic on the fives, because if you're on northbound Avalon Boulevard from I-10 all the way down to Highway 98, very slow moving, just a whole span. If you're going southbound on Avalon, you're checking in clear. If you're on the bridge, however, you're slow moving as soon as you get onto the bridge. Just be ready to expect those delays. Also seeing delays along Highway 90 westbound heading to downtown Milton. It's backed up to Ward Basin Road. Highway 9 Mile Road delayed eastbound in front of the Navy Federal Complex. And Highway 29 southbound between 9 Mile and I-10 reporting delays there. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, Davis, that you mentioned that comments on our Facebook page. I had not read them. Oh, my goodness. I mean, I know people are anti-mask, but this is, wow. So outdoors in a crowd, you're not, outdoors is not magic. The sun is not magic. I kind of agree with what the Wahoos is asking people to do. Now, whether it'll be enforced, that's different. It's better to be outdoors than indoors, but this actually makes sense to me. It's amazing, though, some of the comments, honestly.